Would you turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 17? Whenever something exciting happens to me, I tend to think about the other people who maybe aren't experiencing the same thing. Maybe I'm going through a time of great victory and they're going through a time of struggle. So I always try to think about others. And with so much happening in the church and the miracles and the excitement taking place, it's easy for maybe somebody to say, you know, I'm not seeing God work miracles in my life. I'm not seeing my vision come to pass. And so this message is for you tonight. 1 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 5. And then we'll turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and read verses 1 through 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains." Then Nathan said unto David, "Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another." And then 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We'll begin with verse 1. Then said Solomon, "The Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built a house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever." And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, "Blessed be the God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, Forasmuch as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name." Father, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that this word would be an encouragement to those who are still waiting to see the things that they have dreamed about and the purpose for their life and the visions that you have given them. They're still waiting for those to come to pass, or maybe even in some cases, Lord, you have said, no, you're not going to be able to do that. We pray, Lord, that this message, again, would be an encouragement and a strength to them and a help. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone writes two books, one with his dreams and ambitions, the other with their actual performance. And to face the two is sometimes to face disappointment. Sometimes God says no to a dream, a vision, a plan, an idea. With David, there was this earnest longing to build God a house, to build a tabernacle. He had a fixed purpose to do this. He had built the temple every night in his dreams. It would be a fitting climax to his life and a monument to his service for God. It was in his heart to do this, but God said no. You know, we tend to forget the good things and remember the bad. I don't know why that is. We forget the compliments, we remember the criticisms. We forget the many times God says yes, and we remember the one time God says no. Sometimes to dwell on that would lead to cynicism and bitterness and even resentment. It clouds our outlook on life, and we misinterpret sometimes God's actions. And we think that God is not for us as he is for others. And so I've entitled the message tonight, What to Remember When You Can't Forget. What to remember when you can't forget. First of all, remember this. A good idea is not always a godly idea. It's not always God's idea. There have been some times in my life where I thought I've had some pretty good ideas, but God has said no to my ideas. You can't find anything wrong with David's idea here. It was a great vision. It was a great plan. It was needed because God lived in a tent. It would also unite Israel and Judah together. The kingdom was divided at this time. There was a northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. But building a tabernacle, a temple, where both kingdoms could come and worship would bring unity. It would unite the people. It was a good idea for that. I believe that David's motive was right. His motive was to honor God. It wasn't to exalt himself in any way. He just simply wanted to bring honor to God. He was feeling bad because he had this nice house to live in and God didn't have any. So he wanted to build it for God. And God himself wanted a permanent temple. There's a couple of times that this becomes evident. 1 Chronicles 28:12 and 1 Chronicles 28:19, God gave David the plan for building and for what he should put in it. It said, in the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about, of the treasures of the house of God and of the treasures of the dedicated things. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. David had the plan. He was ready to do it. God had wanted a permanent temple. It was a good idea. And even Nathan the prophet, at first, he agreed with it. And he confirmed that this was a good plan. This was a good idea. It was a good purpose and vision that you have, David. But God said no. I wondered how many times there are prayers like this. God himself steps in and he says, you know, as much as it may hurt him, he has to tell us no sometimes. He says no to our tasks. He chooses what we shall do. Later, God explains why David couldn't build the temple. Your hands are bloody, he said. You're a man of war. You have blood on your hands. God uses some for battle, others for building. And I know that the builder usually gets the credit, but I think the real credit should go to those who have battled to get to the place where the building is possible. And again, I mentioned that this morning. I'm so thankful for you that have been here. How many of you have been here for 30 years? Close to 30 years. Ernie and Della, too. They fought battles here, guys. And as we move ahead and we get into the building and we get into all that excitement, let's not forget those that toiled and labored and sweated to get us where we are today. It just didn't happen that we are here today. It required a lot of work. Bob was telling me, he's told me this before, but you know, I don't know if you know it, this church came real close to closing its doors one time, but about 16 years ago. But there were people who were willing to stick it out and to fight and to pour their lives in it. And as we move forward, let us never be proud and think that we are here because of us. We are not. We are here because this is God's vision and because other people have paid the price before us. Some great churches are built on the battles that others have fought. And I, for one, don't want to take any credit, any glory. I want to put that on you. And I just believe that God is rewarding for years of faithful service to this building and to this ministry. But David could not build the temple. But I want you to know that David's failure doesn't mean God's failure. The temple would be built. The temple will be built. It just wouldn't be by David. In fact, there were three temples. The first was destroyed in 587 BC by Nebuchadnezzar. The second was Zerubbabel's from 527 to 168 BC. The third was Herod's temple from 19 AD to 70 AD. Today, a Muslim mosque occupies the spot of that third temple. So much for your lasting monuments. Remember that a good idea is not always a godly idea. Number two, what to remember when you can't forget. God judges us not by the achievement of our hands, but by the ambition of our heart. Notice 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. With God, wanting to do something is the same as doing it. He rewards both the same way. He rewards the motive, and he rewards the action. It's true with both sin and righteousness. Jesus said, whoever hates his brother in his heart is a murderer. He equated it with to be the same. Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so the equation is the same, but it's also true with righteousness. God knows the desires of your heart. God knows what you would do if you were given the chance, if you were given the opportunity, if God would say yes. He knows what you would do. He rewards you just the same as if you would have done it, if you would have carried it through. God is the only master who pays his servants for inclination as well as action. He accepts the intent and the accomplishment. Number three, what to remember when you can't forget. God says no, not to deprive us of a blessing, but to drive us to a greater blessing. If all we see is the disappointment, we will miss the blessing. When God holds one blessing, it is only in order to give us a greater blessing. If he takes something from us with his left hand, he will give us something better, something greater in his right hand. God never leaves us empty-handed or empty-hearted. David wanted the temple to be built as a monument to his love and devotion to God. You know, this was the best thing that David could think of. David thought, what can I do for God? What would be the best thing that I could do for God? And it was David's idea to come up with the idea to build this temple for God. But do you know that God had something better in mind for David? He took something with his left hand from David, but he gave David something out of his right hand. The thing that God gave David is called the Psalms. The temple was destroyed, and today a pagan religion sits on its location, but not one jot or tittle has been taken from the Psalms. You know, I don't know where I would be in my Christian walk today if it wasn't for the Psalms. I go to the Psalms every single day. I read out of the Psalms. But especially in dry and discouraging and in the trials of life, I live in the Psalms. I try to relate to David as he goes through certain things as he's writing these Psalms. And I pray these Psalms right back to God, sometimes word for word. The Psalms have been a source of encouragement for Christians down through the ages. I wonder how many times the 23rd Psalm has been quoted at funerals. It has brought great comfort to those who have lost loved ones. The Psalms is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And it was because God said no to David. No, you can't build me a temple, but I have a greater work for you to do. I want you to write down psalms. I want you to write songs, and these psalms will be preserved forever, for all generations, for all of eternity. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. It will remain forever. And so I want you to know that if God is telling you no for something, it's only because he's got a greater blessing for you. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't give up during those times. That's the tendency. The tendency is to become cynical or even bitter over it. And resent the fact that God tells you no. Don't do that, because if you go with God's program, he has something better than you could think of on your own, better than you could dream of. The blessing of remembrance. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep coat, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth." God is reminding David where he was when God found him. "David, I took you from tending sheep. You were just simple shepherd. You were following sheep." God says, "David, watch your step. Watch your step." And so God reminds David of all that he has done for him. He says, "Don't be discouraged over this. Remember where you came from, where I have brought you to." And if we remember that in our life, we remember where we came from, what God has brought us to, that gives us great hope and vision for the future. This denial doesn't mean that David is being abandoned. God is not saying, "Just because I'm telling you no, I'm abandoning you." I remember one time taking our children to Pizza Hut. And we had breadsticks, and we had pizzas. Before we left, the kids asked for a helium balloon. Now, there were times when I let them have the helium balloons. But if you've ever driven a 12-passenger van with 10 helium balloons in the back, you cannot see very well. And we were not going home, and we were going somewhere else. I don't remember where we were going. So I said no to the helium balloons. Well, we got in the van, and we were driving down the road, and after a while, one of the children were crying. And so I asked, "Why are you crying?" "You wouldn't let us have a helium balloon." They forgot about the pizza. They forgot about the breadsticks. They forgot about being able to go out to eat. They forgot about all the good things. They remembered the one thing that they couldn't have, and it caused them sorrow and sadness. Just like us, I thought. Just like adults sometimes. God gives us many blessings, and then God says, "No, I've given you all this, but you can't have this." And what do we tend to remember? We remember the one thing God says no to. We forget all the blessings. We forget all the good things. We forget the one thing God says no. We concentrate on what God has not done rather than on the wonderful things He has done. And then the blessing of reassurance, 1 Chronicles 17:10. "And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house." I thought this was very interesting when I read this. What is God's promise here? God's promise is, "I will build thee a house." God wants to do something for David, not have David do something for him. And as I thought about that in the light of what has happened the last few days, maybe it's that God wants to bless us with a new building too. As much as we want to bless Him, maybe He wants to build it for us. Didn't Jesus say, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it"? God wants to do something for David and not have David do something for him. And then God says, "David, your son, Solomon, will build the temple." What greater joy is there for a father than to see his children succeed? There is no greater joy than that. Than to see our children being used of God. Joan gave testimony of that tonight. There is no greater joy than to see that our children are being used by God. No greater joy at all. And that's the opportunity that David had. David's response through all this was not to become sour, was not to become bitter, but his response was praise and thanksgiving. And what did he do? He didn't say, "Oh, if I can't build the temple, then I'm just going to pout and I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I wash my hands of this." No, he took an offering for the building of the temple. Even though he wasn't going to be able to do it, he still took an offering to get it started. His total attitude was one of praise, one of thanksgiving to God. Now, if you're here tonight and God has told you no about something, and you've been focusing on that rather than concentrating it on the good things that God has done, please don't let your response become one of bitterness and resentment, but let it be one of praise and thanksgiving, and realize that God has something better in store for you than what you thought you wanted to do for God. Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed this evening? What to remember when you can't forget. When you can't forget about the no, what can you remember? That a good idea is not always God's idea. Remember that God judges you not by the achievement of your hands, but by the ambition of your heart. And realize that God says no, not to deprive you of a blessing, but to drive you to a greater blessing. There's faith, there's hope. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight, by an uplifted hand, you would say, Pastor, God has said no to me. And I haven't really been able to forget that, and I haven't been able to respond properly. But by God's grace, I want to be able to respond properly to Him tonight so that I can receive the greater blessing. Is there anybody here like that? Could I see your hand that I could pray for you? Amen. 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 Thank you. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful to us, even when we sometimes doubt you or question your love for us. Lord, I pray tonight for those that have raised their hands, that you would help them to know that you are for them tonight. You are not against them. Lord, that you have something better in store for them than even they thought possible. Lord, I pray tonight that you would drive them to that greater blessing. Lord, help them not to feel disappointment so that they would miss out on the blessing, but help them to reach out tonight in faith. Help them to reach out with hope. And help them to know, Lord, that you are so desiring to pour out your blessing upon them. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.